You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. If you come to the site now, we have some great analysis for you, of course, for Super Bowl 53. As promised here, we said later in the week we'd break down the game as we got all the information and the interviews. And you can check out a couple things I have up there talking to Brandon Cooks and Andrew Whitworth at SportingNews.com. And it's time to get into the nitty-gritty of breaking down this game. And we'll do it today from just looking at the matchup in general. Who wins? How do we like it going there? And then we'll close here as we have the DraftKings prices and as we want to wait as late as possible to fill out that lineup for Super Bowl 53, the final game here that you can play on DraftKings, how you do the one-game slate. If you've never done that, this is the best time to do that there on DraftKings. So we'll break that down on the next show. Now let's talk about this game here. We'll start with when the Patriots have the ball. They are technically the away team in this game, so we'll just do that and start with them, and then cut to how we think things are going to go with the Rams and give you a final prediction there for this game. Now, you look at it, it's about 56.5, 57 where you're looking at. The line has fluctuated from Patriots 1.5 to Patriots 2.5, somewhere in that range, wherever you're looking there. And when you look at it, look at the Patriots and what they've done. They've run the ball very effectively in the postseason. They've stuck with it a lot. Their offensive line has played very well, and that's going to be the matchup we're going to watch first here. Up front there, especially Joe Thuney and David Andrews and Shaq Mason against Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. This is going to be a great matchup to watch. I would expect they're going to try to put a double team on Donald and trust Thuney there probably to take Sue out of the game. So that's the advantage they have, is that they have two guys there that can work on one of them, and then I would expect it's Donald. He's the guy that draws the double team, but Sue's been playing really well. So in that case, when you've had the double, Sue has not always played as well, but he's stopped the run very well in the playoffs to help them against the Cowboys and Saints up front. The Cowboys had a pretty good interior line, but some of their issues there, not having Travis Frederick having some issues up front, caught up to them. The Saints as well with Anders Pete. Well, with Thuney and these other two interior linemen, Andrews and Mason, arguably played the best guard of anyone in this league, I think the Patriots will be able to control the line of scrimmage there. So the running game, expect a lot of Sonny Michel on this one. They're going to use James White as well as a receiver to trust the weakness of the Rams linebackers here. So White and Michel right away, I think, are focal points here. And I think the matchups there in the passing game are going to dictate what we see here, that they're going to go more towards the run. In the passing game, you could have some tough matchups here because you have Aqib Talib, who they can put on Rob Gronkowski, can get physical with him. Big presence at corner, follow Gronk, especially when he's lining up outside, and think he could travel a little bit in the slot. But you also have Nickell Robey-Coleman, who's very good. So Julian Edelman, I think the best way maybe to get him is to get him on the outside a little bit, maybe get that matchup with Marcus Peters. So it's going to be tough because the Rams do have some guys, especially with the Patriots not having that outside deep threat that you totally trust. I mean, it's going to take a game here from Chris Hogan or Philip Dorsett to help open up that passing game a little bit, but I think the Patriots are going to be run heavy. That's what their MO says. That's what the weakness overall of the Rams defense says here. So I like the matchup up front there. I don't love the matchup maybe on the edge there with Trent Brown. He's been pretty good, but this is why the Patriots need to run the ball. They need to stay out of obvious passing situations or third and short. This is what they need to create here for Tom Brady. That was a big reason for success against the Chiefs, who had the great pass rush and couldn't get going. I mean, if the Rams, if you neutralize Donald, who had about half their sacks this season, it's been hard for them to get a pass rush going with any anyone else. So you look at that, and we look across the board. When you look at Gronk versus Tlaib, I think it makes a lot of sense to do that and not put Tlaib in a position where he's not covering anyone of note. I mean, just a waste to put him on Hogan or Dorsett if they're in the game at that particular time. I think what the Patriots will do to counter is try to make the Rams maybe look at Sonny Michel and James White out of the backfield. Maybe have Edelman in there with Gronk. So then, yeah, you can put away those guys, but then your weakness at linebacker can be exposed in two different ways. The Patriots are in position to run the ball if they need to, or throw short, or use Edelman there. And I think they can also change it up here very well with James Devlin bringing in the fullback there as someone who can break down. So however you slice it, I think the Patriots will have more success, I think, running the ball than throwing the ball. And that was the case in the championship game as well. I mean, Tom Brady had that nice comeback, but it was a struggle. I know Julian Edelman didn't help him with that ball that went through his hands that was an interception, but it wasn't pretty for Tom Brady at all. And it really, really helped by some amazing third down and long conversions there in fourth quarter and overtime. And that's where he really came through with the degree of difficulty. But for most of the game, he was running and setting up Brady for favorable third down opportunities there for his team. So overall, look at Brady, and he knows the Wade Phillips defense from years back, Super Bowl 50, the Broncos won that with Wade Phillips. Well, before that, they really got in Brady's face, rattled him. So for the Rams, they need Dante Fowler, someone off the edge, to have a nice game here going after Brady. Fowler's played pretty well late, contributed well against the Saints. So their edge pass rush and Sue are coming through when they need it to complement Donald here. So it's going to be a very interesting game within the game there. Where the Patriots approach, it's been the year of the past, but they've had a lot of success recently with the run. They're more built to do that. And like I said, the Rams, they overachieved, but that's not going to keep the Patriots from sticking with the run and doing the damage there. And White is going to be an extension of that. Obviously, an Edelman might be as well, so you can throw quick to him, and he's not in a position where Robey Coleman can get physical and push him out of the way or stop him. I think you'll get the ball maybe early in routes, maybe short wide receiver screens there to get him in space. I think with Gronkowski, they might do that as well, and then bait the Rams for a deep shot. So all kinds of things the Patriots can do in the Super Bowl offensively, and I think they'll have a lot of success. I think Josh McDaniels, they'll be prepared, and the pass eventually is going to open up with a lot of the run, and the Rams being a little bit worn down in the pass rush to get after Brady, even if on the edge there against Brown. And that's how you break down when the Patriots have the ball in Super Bowl 53 here in Atlanta. And I've been talking a little bit about the game with the line and over-under and how it's changed and all that. But as you were asking me and listening to the show to find out who I think is going to win, let me tell you, where you bet is just as important as what team you wager on. That's why you have to go to MyBookie. They have the best player perks in the business. They've been in this business for years. They're well-trusted, and you can't do wrong by going to their site and taking your action there. This is their last chance, the biggest game of the NFL season, and you got to take advantage of the action, and especially now, because they're going to give you a dollar-for-dollar deposit match there up to $1,000 if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, LOCKEDON with your first deposit there. They give you that initial deposit bonus there to get you going into the game, and there you get the match. It's getting free money immediately, and then you can go out there and win it. And with MyBookie, the best thing is you play, you win. You're going to get paid pretty soon there, and it's action, it's fast and furious. You got to find the right trusted partner to do that, and MyBookie offers the best there. Again, MyBookie, use that promo code locked on for that deposit match on your initial one there at MyBookie. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. I'll be right back here to break down when the Rams have the ball. When the Rams have the ball here in Super Bowl 53 is what we'll get to next. And the big question is, we'll start with their running game, their offensive line. Their offensive line is obviously very good. I mentioned Whitworth. They got Whitworth and looking at Roger Saffold and John Sullivan and Austin Blythe and Rob Havenstein, a very good front five as well, so they can dictate the action here against the Patriots front. The Patriots are going to do things. The question is, are they going to walk up an extra guy to the box? Dont'a Hightower's played really well, cleaning up things at linebacker. But you look overall at the Rams, Todd Gurley, that's a question. What's the health status? Is he going to be full bore? Is he going to be the feature back again? Or are they going to mix in C.J. Anderson because they like him and his running style, give the Patriots something else to think about and wear him down? Or do they prefer just have Gurley out there, even if he's not 100% consistently, that he has that threat in the passing game? He had those drops that were almost crucial for them against the Saints, still managed to overcome them, but he's a guy that you have to make Bill Belichick commit something to in the passing game. C.J. Anderson offers nothing of that, and Sean McVay wants to get every matchup advantage he can against Bill Belichick. With Gurley, you just have two players you have to worry about if you're the Rams, technically. I mean, one guy that you have to worry about pounding it on you and wearing you down, and one guy that's elusive in the open field, can shoot a field after a catch and score a touchdown 30, 40 yards out just like that in a blink. So Todd Gurley, they want to limit the damage he does. I think he'll be the one thing that the Patriots really focus to take away. It makes a lot of sense because he's also the gateway to the play-action passing game working, Jared Goff having less pressure on him and less creative things they can do with coverage and pressure. If Goff has a comfortable running game, the Rams smashed all over the Cowboys doing this. Had a little bit more trouble in the last game, and it was a grind scoring points. They still managed it because Jared Goff made some great throws, and Brandon Cooks and the tight ends really came through here. So I would say it's going to be a lot more Gurley. I think the success overall of the Rams is dependent here how the Patriots approach it. I think they can actually have more success with Gurley in there. Anderson, I don't think, is going to cut it straight running on the Patriots because the Patriots are going to build themselves to stop the run, and I don't expect too much of C.J. Anderson. I think if there is, I think it's a mistake by Sean McVay in this one, unless there's something legitimately wrong with Todd Gurley where he can't handle more than 15 touches. But if he can, in this game, he's had 2 weeks off now to recover a little bit. I think you have to give him 25 to 30 touches. He's the guy that got you there. Anderson is just a guy that bridged the gap, and it was a good find there when Gurley couldn't play late in the season. It allowed him to rest a little bit more. He figured if that allowed him to rest and they were trying to save him for the playoffs while they were still winning and still used Anderson there early and had the two-week layoff, that you'll see a lot of Gurley, and that is going to be the toughest thing for the Patriots to worry about. In the passing game, when you look at it, I wrote about this as well at sportingnews.com. What are they going to do with Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks? You've had Stephon Gilmore shadow top receivers a lot this season, but they've varied. Those receivers are tough, and they've also had other guys like Jonathan Jones and J.C. Jackson and Jason McCourty at times shadow people kind of as a result of what they do with Gilmore. So the thing I wrote about sportingnews.com, I expect J.C. Jackson and Josh Reynolds, they're just going to say J.C. Jackson's better than Josh Reynolds, and that coverage is going to be there. And then Jonathan Jones and Jason McCourty have kind of split time in the slot, so that means more of Robert Woods. Woods is used a lot more in the slot than Cooks. So I would say whenever Woods lines up outside, you have to put Gilmore on him because Gilmore is big. He's handled some good physical receivers this season. He has struggled more at speed receivers. We know Sammy Watkins gave him some trouble while he was shadowing, while they did a high-low double-team bracket on Tyreek Hill. Took him out of the game effectively, but Watkins had a big game with four catches for over 100 yards and some big plays there against Gilmore. So I think in general, Gilmore against Woods makes a lot of sense, but what complicates that is when Woods is used in the slot a lot as a big slot, and his percentage is more 60%, close to that, while with Tyreek Hill, you're looking at 25 to 20, or with Brandon Cooks, you're looking at 25 to 28%. Tyreek Hill was used about 45% there in the slot. So when you look at that comparison and how they're used, I think you have to say putting Woods inside is a benefit to the Rams because it means that they'll get a favorable matchup there, again, against either Jonathan Jones, who's more of a speed demon, and Woods is a technically sound route runner. He's smooth. He's more of a possession receiver with some wiggle, some after-the-catch ability. He's a wily veteran now that is used to burning a lot of younger corners, and J.C. Jackson certainly is that. So that kind of opens things up for Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore. They worked a lot in practice. They've been talking a lot about their relationship, how it's kind of evolved. They're very good friends, but they haven't talked much as they prepare to play each other often here. And so Cooks could give them a lot of problems. And if Cooks is going to be open for some big plays, one-on-one, and in the cases where maybe they put Woods outside so Cooks gets the favorable matchup, if he can get something going downfield and the Patriots have to more account for him, I mean, you can't account for everybody. They like to take one thing away, but when you have Gurley and Woods and what Brandon Cooks can do, it's really hard to take one great thing away and then be happy about the rest. I mean, you're just basically picking your poison. Sometimes the Patriots just have to live with the results, what else happens. I think with Cooks, the biggest concern there, of course, is him making the big plays there, one-on-one coverage. It doesn't matter if it's Gilmore or someone else, that he can make the big plays. And the Patriots do struggle when guys get behind them, and they can get confused to give up even more big plays and not have the best situation to overcome that. So when you look at it, again, Reynolds and Jackson, you figure, again, Gilmore is going to probably see a little bit of Woods and a little bit of Cooks. That makes the most sense for the Patriots to make sure you're taking out the right receiver in the right situation. No Cooper Kupp really kind of hurts what you're seeing there from the Rams, but it also gives them a little bit more versatility with Woods being an inside guy. And we'll see. And Josh Reynolds is going to have his opportunities there too, and some single coverage opportunities. J.C. Jackson did struggle a little bit with some penalties. This Patriots team is typically not penalized in defensive passing situations like that, with holding or pass interference or illegal contact. So you can cause J.C. Jackson to do that for the most part. And so that's another thing, is you want to create some frustration. And Josh Reynolds, if he can get open and do some things, more speed than people think there, as well as Cooks, then it's going to be a little bit of a confusion on the Patriots who to get. And one more wrinkle on top of that is the tight ends, Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee. How are they going to deploy these dudes? And really, they seem to put them out at the right time. Sean McVay is interchangeable with them. Everett is clearly the better, more athletic receiver, but Higbee can also make some big catches downfield. So that's another wrinkle the Patriots have to worry about to complement all this that is going on there with that team. And that's a good chess match there between Sean McVay and Bill Belichick. What kind of personnel they're going to be, mainly in this three receiver sets with the Reynolds there and Woods and Cooks, but I could also see two tight ends a little bit to confuse the Patriots in this game with Higbee and Everett. So there's all kinds of things they can do, and Higbee and Everett, they also get you into that extra run blocker. If the Patriots are loading up to stop against the run, you'd have a little bit more of Higbee there because of that, and Higbee being in the game gives them a little bit more versatility than Everett. I think Everett, he's in the game where you want to take some shots, maybe change it up where the coverage has to respect him as a more athletic tight end, and can create massive problems along with the wide receivers if they don't like what's going on with Woods and Cooks early on the other side in coverage. So we broke down the Patriots when they have the ball, when the Rams have the ball. Before we make our final pick, I just have to tell you that Locked On NFL Draft is our great draft show, as well as Draft Dudes. We're in full force with the draft after the Super Bowl is over. There, the next big event coming up is the Combine with the Shrine Bowl and Senior Bowl. Check out all the insight there. You just go to those two shows, as well as Locked On NFL, the flagship show on this network. We'll talk about it a little bit more in fantasy as we go along. And reminder, you can check out my mock draft and those previous shows there this week, breaking down my mock draft at sportingnews.com. So we like talking draft here a lot. It's draft season. As soon as the Super Bowl is over, that's the only attention there. We'll have Combine and Pro Days and all that good stuff. So again, keep it here to the Locked On NFL Network, to our draft coverage on our main shows, and with our team-by-team podcasts as well. And the best thing is, if you have a smart speaker, you can just say play Locked On NFL Draft or whatever show you're listening to. And it's just like that. You're locked into the Locked On Network. And in the car, same thing. It's a good, short, convenient, compact show there to listen to on a regular basis, where you get the insight where you won't anywhere else here, and a commitment to that throughout the off season. We'll be right back here to break down and give you the final score prediction of the Super Bowl 53 between the Rams and Patriots. Okay, let's take it to an actual game prediction. Well, I'm going with the Patriots here by a touchdown, 34-27. I do really like what the Rams can do. And, of course, the 27 points, I mean, that's not a slouch thing. That's still quite a bit against a Bill Belichick schemed defense. I think part of the reason that the Rams won't necessarily break the scoreboard is that Jared Goff, a little bit of jitters there. He's going to have to throw in a little bit more of a one-dimensional space again against Patriots. Bill Belichick is good at scheming and figuring out ways to put pressure on this young quarterback there. And I think another reason is the Rams will see the Patriots stay on the field a lot with the ball control and the rushing offense. And I think in general, that's how you get the Rams off the field, and that's how the Patriots stay on the field with the running game. So that's the biggest difference here. The running game in the favor of the Patriots. I think they'll have more success running the ball, therefore less pressure on Tom Brady, therefore longer possessions, scoring drives as well. The Rams are also not the same red zone defense as the Patriots are. The Patriots are going to get some stops there. We know that Greg Zuerlein is money and get kicks, but that's not what the Rams won this game. You have Tom Brady on the other side, so they'll have to settle, based on my score prediction, for a couple of field goals in key situations where the Patriots will score a little bit more with success with touchdowns in this game. They're in Super Bowl 53. So that's why I like the Patriots. I mean, last year, I liked the Patriots up until like late in the week and the Eagles, and you just felt a good vibe from the Eagles and what they could do. I mean, I'm looking at this pick, but I do feel like the Patriots are the better team. They're more focused right now, better in terms of, I think, just the experience and kind of their execution is there and is a little bit more reliable than the Rams. And there's always a first time for everything and all that, but I'm not necessarily getting the same Rams vibe that I did get from the Eagles late in the Super Bowl process. I initially liked the Patriots in that one, but liked the Eagles later in the week. And I think this one, I felt the Patriots quite all the way, and it's right there. I mean, I think it could be a little over, so I like the over in this one. Clearly, it doesn't matter what the final line is, and I do like the spread if it's a touchdown and we're hovering around less than a field goal as well. So there you have it. There's your breakdown there on the matchup focus for Super Bowl 53. Again, we'll come back with one last show. We had delay this week just with all the craziness going on in Super Bowl 53, Atlanta week, where I've been running around everywhere. So a little bit of delay on those shows, but we'll still get you good there before kickoff with our Saturday show look on DraftKings. For Locked On Fantasy Football, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.